The word of God given to us today is Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. Please turn to page 402 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not really realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. In Matthew chapter 1, there is a parable of the 10 virgins who went out to greet the bridegroom with lamps in their hands. Among the 10 friends of the bride, 5 were wise, and the other 5 foolish. How these 10 virgins were distinguished as 5 foolish and 5 wise ones was either if they had oil in the lamps or not. The wedding ceremonies at the time started in the evening, so lamps were essential. These 10 bridesmaids would have had not much difference regarding their appearances. All must have been wearing pretty makeups, dressed in their finest dresses. They all carried lamps each. Not only that, all of them dozed off while waiting for the groom. But the crucial difference between them was that the 5 of them had oil, the other half did not. When they heard that the groom had arrived, the foolish maids had almost no oil left in their lamps. So they asked the wise maids to share what oil they had left, but were refused. Instead, they were advised it'd be better if they find someone who sells oil and buy some from them. So they hurried themselves to the oil shop. But the groom had arrived, and the banquet was started while they were away, and the door was shut. The foolish maids later arrived and knocked on the door, only to receive the answer, I don't know you. So the Bible always tells us that we should be awake. Being awake does not only refer to being awake from sleep, because both foolish and the wise maids all fell asleep while waiting for the groom. Being awake means being prepared with what they need. What those foolish maids needed weren't makeups, nor did they need the dresses, nor the expensive lamps. What they really needed was to go buy some oil. The simple fact of whether if they possessed oil or not has decided the fates of the 10 virgins if they can receive the eternal life or not. In today's words, the Lord also talks of what the church of Laodicea needs to buy, just like the oil that all 10 virgins should have bought. "I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing," was the kind of mindset that the church of Laodicea had. But the Lord, the foundation of all creations, thought completely differently. They considered themselves to be fortunate, but the Lord referred to them as a wretched people. They considered themselves to be those who can brag about how happy they are. But the Lord considered them as being pitiful and miserable. They also thought that they were the rich people who needed help from no one. But the Lord called them poor, who absolutely needed the help of the others. That is not all. The church of Laodicea firmly believed that their church was a church for the awakened, but the Lord called it the church for the blind. They also believed that they were the people dressed in tunics made out of expensive wool, but the Lord said that they were naked. Verse 18 of today's reading starts like this: "I counsel you." The word symvolevo in Greek means to advise, counsel, or to suggest. And it also means to discuss together. When Jesus wrote a letter to the Laodicean church, he called himself as the ruler of God's creation. Jesus, who is the God the Son, is also the God the Father, therefore the same creator of the universe. There is an infinite qualitative difference between the creator and the creations. King Solomon prayed after the construction of the temple. You can find his prayer in 1 Kings chapter 8, 27-28. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built? Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy, Lord my God. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. The gods that the people in the ancient Near East believed in were the beings that can only have powers over certain regions, such as in a village, a city, or in a mountain. So each god received rituals in certain regions only. But Solomon never thought of our God as one of them. Our God is not only too great of a being to be bound to a certain place, but is also too great to even be bound to all of the earth. The Jews also thought that there were three separate levels in heaven. It's divided into the sky that we can see, the universe beyond the sky that is invisible to our eyes, and the place where God lives. No matter how vast the sky and the space may be, they are incomparable to God. This is because they are mere creations of God. The earth within the space is smaller than a strand of a hair fallen inside this chapel, even smaller than a single dirt. Now, how small will us humans be then? But this ruler of God's creations, our Lord counsels us his creations. Would you ever counsel your pet dog or your cat? I wish you would politely greet our guests. I wish you would read some books a year so that you can become a more sophisticated animal. I suggest you don't bark or cry indiscreetly and think three times before you do to become a more sensible animal. I don't think you would say any of that to your pets. What people usually say to their pets would only be things like, don't eat anything you see, just feed on the things that I give you. Go to potties in specific places only, or don't come up on the bed unless I allow you to. Sometimes the owner can say things that are on their minds to their pets. But that's not because they expect their pets to understand them, but because they just simply want someone to listen to their whining and grumbling. The difference between the Lord and us is much greater than that of the humans and the pets. Because the humans and the animals are all his creations with limited life, but the Lord is our creator, the infinite being. Still, he does not convert us by forcing us to do so. It is not one-sided either. The way he counsels us to change and to be mature is really touching and heartwarming. The Lord encouraged the church of Laodicea to buy three things that they needed. It is written in verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. First, the Lord offered the church of Laodicea to buy gold refined in the fire. As I've told you numerous times, Laodicea was a financial hub in the Asia Minor at the time and was wealthy enough to take on the role of a bank in the Asia Minor. The city rose to its feet again on its own after the city was devastated after an earthquake, refusing the help from the emperor. So they must have had a lot of gold in Laodicea. But this gold was a result of the secular values and everything that the human desires can represent. Those weren't the gold that the church of Laodicea needed. What they needed was a pure gold with the secular values filtered out and the human desires melted away. That is why the Lord told us to buy gold refined in the fire instead of just gold. With this refined gold, one can truly become wealthy. Job, who has filtered out the impurities of life through the furnace of suffering, confessed as follows in Job's chapter 23, verse 10. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and was a fairly wealthy man. Not only that, he was a very religious and had a very good personality. There is a Korean proverb saying that the wealthy can strive through years even after perishing. But that did not apply for Job. His children all died, buried under the house that collapsed during a typhoon, while having their meals. His servants and livestock were either killed or stolen by the enemies, or even killed by lightning. All of these events happened simultaneously in one single day. All that was left of Job was his own body. To add to his misery, he suffered a skin disease that was so bad he had to scratch himself with the roof tiles. The book of Job shows very well of how the impurities in his life were filtered and how his life gradually turned into a pure gold. The people in the Bible have all suffered hardships to filter out the impurities and contaminants of the secular values from their lives to become like pure gold. There was no exception. Jacob confessed before the Pharaoh as follows: "The years of my pilgrimage are 130. My years have been few and difficult, and they do not equal the years of the pilgrimage of my fathers." Jacob had to go through the difficult years. God gave him a promise, and Jacob tried to keep the promise in his own way, but that only brought difficulty for him. When he finally surrendered to God, the impurities in his life started to be filtered out, and his name was changed to Israel, which became the name of the country. Joseph, Jacob's 11th son, was sold to Egypt at the age of 17 by his own brothers, had to go through the hardship of being a slave, and then had to endure the prison life. When Joseph went through 11 years of slavery and imprisonment altogether, he once interpreted the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker. He told the cupbearer that he will be restored to his position in 3 days. And to the baker, he told that the baker will be beheaded in 3 days. To the cupbearer, whom Joseph told that he will be restored to his position, Joseph asked for a favor as follows in Genesis chapter 40, verses 14 and 15. "But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." On Joseph's part, it must have been a very unfair 11 years for him. He was sold as a slave due to his brother's plot, which was never an easy thing to endure. And then he was accused of sexually harassing General Potiphar's wife, and then was imprisoned. So he tells that he was stolen from the Hebrew land. The original meaning of the word ganab means to steal without consent or theft. In other words, Joseph was a man who belonged to the Hebrew land, and someone stole him away without consent, sold him to Potiphar in Egypt, and then sent him to prison. So he feels as if his whole life was stolen from him, and would therefore like to go back to his father. The cupbearer, who received a good interpretation of his dream, would have definitely agreed to do so. Joseph must have been very happy to see the cupbearer restored to his position as he had interpreted. And all he had to do now was to wait for the cupbearer to ask the Pharaoh to send a messenger to send him home. But the cupbearer had no news for Joseph. Joseph had to spend another 2 years in the prison. But when Joseph had spent another 2 years in the prison, God finally thought it was time. So Joseph interpreted the Pharaoh's dream, was put in charge of the whole land of Egypt, met his family afterwards, and then his family moved to Egypt. And 400 years later than that, the children of Israel finally were able to get out of Egypt and head for the land of promise which God had promised. Such presence of God started when Joseph became one of the God's people with gold refined in the fire through his days of slavery and imprisonment. Same goes for Paul the Apostle in the New Testament. He confesses as follows in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. For it seems to me that God has put his apostles on display at the end of the procession, like those condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to human beings. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty, we are in rags, we are brutally treated, we are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. Now, all Christians in the world respect Paul and make him their role model in religion, in the religious way. But it wasn't quite like it is now back then when he was on his ministries. He was considered a traitor by the Jews and to Christians, an unqualified person because he was not among the 12 disciples. Before he met the resurrected Jesus on his way to Damascus, Paul was the most envied among the Jews. He was born a legitimate Jew of the tribe of Benjamin, was able to speak Hebrew fluently, even though he was born and raised in Tarsus, not Jerusalem, and was an excellent student educated under Gamaliel. Regarding his social status, he was one of the Pharisees that were highly respected among the Jews, and he also had the citizenship in Roman Empire. Paul was more outstanding than any other Jews around at the time. But Paul confesses that he felt like he became a spectacle himself for the angels and the people, as God had placed them at the edge. So on the surface, people treated him like a scum and scorned at him as if he was a trash. However, no matter how hard and difficult his ministries may have been, through his faith and ministries, refined in the fire, God allowed Paul to write 13 books among the 27 books in the New Testament, and allowed him to establish most of the churches shown in the New Testament. Second, the Lord suggested the Church of Laodicea to buy white clothes. The blackish-purple woolen tunic was the best produce of Laodicea. The tunic was called the Trimeter, and Laodicea was so famous of this tunic that they were even called Trimetaria, the land of Trimeter. Laodicea not only produced expensive clothing like Trimeter, but they also produced inexpensive clothes in bulks, so their clothes were exported to many different regions. Since Laodicea was a city of fabrics, the people who attended the Church of Laodicea must have also wore expensive, fancy, sophisticated, new clothes. But Jesus told them that the church was naked, and told them that they needed to buy white clothes. The Lord referred to the church of Sardis as having a reputation of being alive but dead. But even in that church, there were people who were worthy of walking next to Jesus, dressed in white, that have not soiled their clothes. He promised that those who are victorious will be dressed in white. I've looked into this white clothes for more details when the Lord mentioned it. The white clothes that we need to buy and wear are the formal attires washed with the blood of Jesus Christ that we need to wear when entering the banquet in God's land. They are the clothes of victory that will confirm that we were victorious on this land with the help of Jesus. When we stand before God after breathing our last breath on this land. And these are the uniforms of determination that we will not be drenched in the secular values, will always stand before God and obey to His words. Without these white clothes, one will end up not knowing what shame is. They may be able to deceive other people, but they may never deceive the eyes of God. Thirdly, the Lord suggested the church of Laodicea to buy the salve. The most famous medication produced in Laodicea was the salve. They grinded the pills called tephra phrygia into powders and applied them on the eyes. And there were none other better salve than that at the time. Even if Laodicea might have been the best city to make the best salve, the church of Laodicea was actually a church for the blind. To be more exact, a church for those who did not realize they were blind. So the salve that the church of Laodicea really needed wasn't the one sold in Laodicea, but the one that the Lord sold. I will read the verse 18 of today's passage again. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. When Jesus told the church of Laodicea to buy gold refined in the fire, white clothes, and salve, He did not tell them to buy from the market. It was because they weren't available in the market. He told them to buy from me the gold refined in the fire, white clothes, and salve are all something the Lord can only provide. When Paul the Apostle wrote a letter to the church of Colossae, just 16 kilometers away from Laodicea, he proved that he was with Jesus Christ as follows. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I want you to know how hard I am at contending for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He says that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden inside Jesus Christ. Only those who purchase these treasures from the Christ will be truly wealthy. Jesus took Peter, James, and John to a high mountain called Mount Tabor. Just then, Jesus changed in his form. His face was glowing like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. Only those who buy white clothes from Jesus will know what shame is. The world's most expensive clothes won't be able to hide our shames, and no thick clothes will be able to hide our ill desires. One of Jesus' works in his ministry was to proclaim recovery of sight for the blind. As such, Jesus let many blind men see during his ministry. And the very first of the missions and callings he endowed upon Paul was to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. Those who do not buy the eye salve that opens your eyes eternally is blind, no matter how elegant or fancy their lives seem to be on the outside. Lord told the church of Laodicea to buy from him gold refined in the fire, white clothes, and eye salve. So then, how much money do we have to give the Lord to buy those things from him? What do we have to pay to become rich, to avoid being shamed, and to recover our sight? Father God already gave us this answer a long time ago through prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 3 says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost." Why spend money on that what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. We do not need anything to buy what the Lord sells. It's okay if you don't have money. It's okay if you don't have the riches. And you won't be excluded even if you haven't made any contributions. Anyone, as they are, can buy from the Lord if they go to him as they are. The church of Laodicea was a very rich church from the outside, but on the inside, it was a wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Their problem was not on the outside, but in the inside. As I mentioned in the beginning of the sermon, what differentiated the five wise virgins from the five foolish virgins who went out to meet the bridegroom was not a difference on the outside. They were all wearing makeups, dresses, and held lamps. And they all fell asleep while waiting for the bridegroom. The difference between them was oil, which was not seen from the outside. We are each a church living on this world. We might look similar on the outside, but that does not mean we are the same on the inside. People are very interested in their appearances, beautiful faces, perfect bodies, six packs, firm abs. That people talk about are all about appearances. To become more good looking and more beautiful, people even undergo plastic surgery. Some people even say beautiful skin is a power. Health and beauty are some of the things we need in our lives. But what is more important than those are the health and beauty on the inside. In Korean, there is a word for appearance, but we don't have a word for inner appearance. You merely have to say appearance on the inside. But on the inside, we don't exist merely as an aspect of ourselves, but as a person as well. Jesus Christ, who shed the blood of redemption on the cross for us, so that our inner appearance, not our outside appearance, is not wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, or naked. When we buy from the Lord gold refined in the fire, white clothes, an eye salve throughout our lives will truly be blessed. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for letting us realize that what's important is not on the outside, but on the inside. What distinguished the five wise virgins from five foolish virgins was not the makeups, clothes, or lamps, but it was the oil, which could not be seen from the outside. And we once again realize that what made the Laodicean church wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked was not because they lacked the riches or clothes made of wool or eye salve, but because they thought nothing from you. They bought nothing from you, Lord, the origin of creation. We look back upon our lives, and many a time we lived like the five foolish virgins who had no oil yet. We felt okay, and we thought that it would be fine if we have all the secular things we need, just like the Laodicean church. And so many a time our spirits have been wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. We pray that just as we tend to our appearances, help us to become your children who tend to our inner appearances. Please help us so that we do not mistakenly believe that we can tend to our own inner appearances, and help us to lead lives buying gold refined in the fire, white clothes, and eye salve from you, Lord. And guide us so that our church can be rich on the inside. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.